We were blessed with music throughout our mission conference and continue to be blessed with God's people singing. And I'm glad that I can be reminded of what Christ has done for me on a daily basis. As I go through this life and I see what is important, it's important for me to be reminded of the cross. Amen. Luke chapter 12 in your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter 12. And I know the ushers have already gone out, some of them, at least the head usher, Brother Richard. Brother Mojica, our missionary to Paraguay, is preaching over in our Spanish church this morning. And many of you may not know this, but Brother Mojica and his family went by faith, and they were under-supported as they left, and they've had to come home for some paperwork. They're trying to get some things that to be able to stay there with all this COVID climate. Their paperwork in that country was short 2 or 3 days of being approved, so they had to come back. It has to be approved within 90 days of them being in the country. So their paperwork that they went with were 3 days short, so they had to come back to the States to get this paperwork again and go. So we not only need to pray about that, but I feel burdened that our church ought to pay for their plane tickets to go home. And that's almost $2,000 to get here for their family, and they're going to have $2,000 to go back. And so at the end of the service, somebody wave at me or Brother Bert remind me. I want to take a offering after the service. Whatever comes in will go to Brother Mojica, but we need to, it would be a blessing if we could raise that money and be able to pay for his plane tickets and help him here for being in the States. And so Luke chapter 12, I want to preach a message this morning. It is Missions Month, and I will do my best to bring this in, and I think you can understand the title of the message, and it won't be completely missions related in total, but the title for the tape room is You're Important. You're Important. I think sometimes in this life, I don't know if many of you understand, but every one of us want to be important. Sometimes we don't always see ourselves as important. Sometimes we don't remember, as what was just sung, about the important things and who we ought to be important to. I think in our country and where we are today, the home has been broken down. The husband ought to feel important when he supports his wife. Amen. When he supports the home, he ought to feel important. One of the greatest blessings of this life is being able to see my children. And as we approach Thanksgiving and Christmas, and just the importance of the home and the family. But that's an area we ought to feel important. There, in our day and age, I believe that more than anything else, what has been skewed in the minds of believers and the world is what you ought to be important to. Sometimes we look for importance in the newspaper. Boy, if I could just get my picture. I remember being a teenager, and you know, we were winning some games, and they were writing articles about our football team, and we had consistently lost like almost every game, every year. The last time the high school that I went to had a winning season was the 50s. They had won the state championship, but they had gone on record as losing everything. But then, you know, they wrote in. I remember the first article, we went up and destroyed a team up north of us that was a powerhouse team. And the guy wrote, "These boys don't know they're supposed to lose." He said, "They don't remember their history. They don't realize they're supposed to lose." Sometimes I think in our life, as Christians, we've allowed the world to tell us that we're the losers when we're the victors. Sometimes in this life, we've allowed the world to convince us that what's important is our social media standing. We've allowed the world to convince us what's important is how far I climb the political ladder, or how high I climb the business ladder, or how high I climb on all these ladders that the world has lifted up. And none of those things are ever going to be drawn out when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. None of those things will be anything that you're measured by. He won't say, "Boy, it was good that you were president of your college class, that you were president of your high school class." He's not going to say, "Man, I'm so glad that you made the city council down in Haines City." He's not going to say, "I'm so glad you made this or you made that." He's going to look at what was important to him. And this book is full of things that are important to him. He gave us a book so that we could know. And the one thing that he came from heaven and purchased with his own blood was you. And I don't think the Christian, the believer today should ever forget that you were so important that God left heaven and came to earth to redeem you into himself. Sometimes we forget what's important and we just think it's all mundane and hem haw. God didn't leave home from heaven and come down to build a nation called America. He blessed it. We could see his hands all over the construction of our nation and how he brought it into being, but he didn't leave heaven to do it. Hey, folks, he didn't come down here to build any business. And if you think the church is a business, then you've lost your mind. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It's not building with paint. It's made up of people. It's an organism. It lives. It moves. It works. And it will answer to God for what it did with the gospel one day. You're important. You're not just important to God, you're important to me. When I get up here to preach and I'm coming to give God's message, my job, what God's called me to do, is to give God's message to God's people. And if God's people don't gather together, if the organism that is the church doesn't gather together to be in God's place to hear his message, then the man of God is preaching to the pews. You're important. Sometimes we forget being in our place, how important it is. Sometimes just sitting in our place and somebody looking over because they were worried. They were on the fence. They were battling the flesh and the spirit, but they show up and they look down the aisle and say, hey, you came too. You're faithful too. You know, I had a stint in my life that I began to work out. I know you can't tell now. But I was going through that, you know, that part of my life where I was leaving the 20s and entering my 30s. And I didn't feel as strong as I used to be. And I remember climbing out of a septic tank. I was a plumber, and many of you think, what's that got to do with septic? Or, you know, that's plumbing. Okay, so, but I was inside of a tank that, don't worry, it was not used, it was new. Okay, so I was coming out of the tank, but when you had that, I'd step up one step on a block that we had in there, and I'd have to jump and I'd have to press myself up out of the tank. And there was a day that came after I'd had lunch that I pressed and I was shaking to get out of that tank. And I realized, wait a second, either I've gotten weaker or I've gotten bigger. Something has happened here. And so, you know what I did to change that? I began to work out. And I didn't do it by myself, because when 5 o'clock came, I already worked. I already got up early. So the gym didn't open until 5. But I decided I got myself a gym membership because it was important to me to be in shape and to take care of that thing. So I went and got this gym membership, and I was paying money for it. But you know, it wasn't important. I'd wake up and I'd look at the clock and go, no, sirree, Bob, I'm not going down to that place this time of day. I almost renamed one of the rooms in my house, gym, so that I could go there and say I had gone there. But I didn't do that. You know what I did? I realized that I would not go unless I found someone else it was important to. And that person made me accountable. And I didn't go to the gym many mornings for me, but I knew my friend needed somebody else to help him lift. He needed someone else to spot him. And so we kept each other in check, and 5 o'clock we would meet. You know, I never missed a day. When I told that man, when I told him that I'd be there, I was there. Not for me. I'd have slept. But I went for him. You know, a lot of times in the Christian life, what the church, the fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, most of the time we need to be accountable to each other. We need to encourage each other because we need spiritual upliftment. We need to be a part of the church. We need to be about God's business, and we need somebody else going, I missed you. I looked for you. We need somebody like that in our lives. We need brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, I'll go to church no matter what, until something happens, until a hard time comes, until you don't. Hey, folks, you're important. I want to preach a message today on your importance. Luke chapter 12, I want to read the scripture. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And he's going to use, this is a familiar passage of scripture, but he's going to use two times early in here. And I want you to see this. And he understands the words that the Bible uses are not on accident. They're every word perfect in this book. And he uses the word consider twice in the early part. A lot of times in the Christian life, we don't consider ourselves important to anybody or what we're doing important, but we must consider what God thinks is important. We can't mark it by Fox News and what they think is important. That changes every day. Whatever one side doesn't like, the other side has to take opposition against it. But God is never changing. And what God believes is important doesn't change either. It's a constant. And if we just get to that place, we'll be better off. In verse 24, we'll begin reading, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then not being not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Look at verse 27. Consider the lilies. He said, consider these birds that fly around our head every day. Every time you see a bird, you know what you ought to be thinking about, folks? I'm important to God. How about when we pass flowers that are growing on their own on the side of the road? Not ones you planted, mind you, but ones that just grow in the wild. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? We don't often see our importance, what we think is important, as faith, but it is. We don't often think about, when I realize who I am and whose I am, I don't really consider that, thinking about that as my faith. But you know, every time I allow myself to think lowly of me, then I'm thinking less of the Savior that came to die for me. When I begin to think less of me and how in my importance in eternity, in the job that God has for his church that I am a part of, then I am thinking less of God, because he thought so much of me that he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary and pay for my sin debt. Hey, folks, you are important. You are important not only in your home, you're important to the church home. You're important to the cause of Christ. He says, and seek not ye what shall eat, what you shall eat. Look at verse 29. And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Let's just take these two verses. Before I really preach my points, I want you to see again in verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. You see how he couples from verse 28 to verse 29? O ye of little faith. And where is that found? That's a being of a doubtful mind. You know, I want to have faith in this life that God can rest in. I want to have a church that will believe God and walk so far out on the limb for him that he has to act in the lives of his people. This week, as we had all kinds of things going on with missions conference, there was a group playing some flag football here on our fields, and a good Christian group that smaller Christian schools, and they had volleyball. Their tournament was held here this week, and they were over there, and one of the preachers who had never been up this way before, he's been pastoring now, I think, since 06, way down near Fort Lauderdale, and he came in and he looked at our building. And he came in and found me because the building was locked after the morning. And he came in and he was walking around the building and asked me who I was. I said, I'm just the pastor. I said, my name is Barry Parsons. Good to meet you. And he began to talk. He had taken that church down there and talked about the rough time that they had had through COVID and all the things that we could think about. But you know, I think the greatest thing that would have helped COVID is if people would have not been fearful but realized how important they are to God. See, we think that all of a sudden a virus came out and God doesn't think we're important anymore. Well, how quickly the nations of the world will turn and change their opinion depending upon the circumstances. He looked across the auditorium and talked about all the people that come and really asked me about our church. And I just talked about how the greatest people in all the world. And you know what proved it to him? He made his span. He was standing over here and he spun all the way around and looked at the choir loft and looked at all the things. And he stopped on our mission gauge. And he said, your people give $500,000 a year to missions. I said, they've been doing it a long time. He said, even through COVID? I said, even through COVID. See, COVID or any other circumstance that will come upon this planet does not negate the great cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because not only are you important, but every soul that takes a breath today is important to an almighty God. He loves us. Let me tell you this morning, God doesn't want us to be of a doubtful mind of what the will of God is for our life or that we're important to Him. He wants us to have faith. Look down with me and read the last couple of verses we'll read this morning, and then I will preach for home as hard as we can go. Amen? In verse 31, but rather, look at verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see that? He realizes in verse 30 that we have need of all these things. He tells them not to worry about eating and drinking, what you're clothed with. Don't worry about all these things. And those are the things that we pursue so many times. Do you know clothes are important to the world? So much so that they put people on runways to show off the new stuff. Eating is important. There is fast food all up and down the strip, is it not? And places. 90% of the advertisers that are on radio and television has something to do with food. God knew we had need of those things, doesn't He? He does. He knows we have that. But He doesn't want us to be of a doubtful mind or spend our lives worrying about what we're going to wear or what we're going to eat. He wants us to trust Him, not with a doubtful mind, but to trust Him that I'm important, that He's going to take care of what I need right when I need it. Not to focus all my energies on, you know, how many cooking channels are there now? Good grief. Amen. I mean, there's so many cooking channels, people spend their whole life worrying about what they're going to cook. And then they got to go find the stuff. And then think about how much time people watch a cooking show. And now you're going to say, well, what about those men's building shows? Like, don't meddle. All right, so. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, we often don't put the importance on the human life that God puts on it. Oftentimes we think this life is all there is, but that's not so. Think about this. Number one today, you're so important to God that God prepared a way for you to go to heaven. You know, first and foremost, well, that's supposed to be your last point, preacher. Well, you know, next time that you write my message, you can put that in the end, okay? But hey, I'm just here to tell you, do you realize that God left heaven? The most important thing to me in this life, that when I started out in the Christian faith, I didn't know how important all the other things that are in the faith. But the first thing I learned was that God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die on Calvary for me. I told folks even this morning, we had a meeting over in the Central Park over there by Sonny's, and as I was preaching this morning there, I told the folks how close it was that I almost missed heaven. I had all this knowledge of God. I grew up in a church. I knew about Jesus, but it was just a knowing Him in my mind. But it wasn't until I realized that that way was for me to put my faith and trust in Him. I shared with them like I'll share with you this morning. You realize when you came in this morning, you didn't kind of test the pew out to see if it would hold you. You just trusted and you rested all that you were right down on that pew. And you've never thought another thing about it. You say, it's got me. And think about it. You were trusting it to hold the rest of the people on the pew too. It wasn't just holding you. But you just trusted that it would take care of that. You know, I knew all there was about Jesus, but I had never taken a seat and rested in his finished work. I had never taken time to just put all I was on him and trust him with my eternity. Folks, I'm so important and you are so important to God that he came from heaven to give an old country boy an I know salvation. Not I know in my head, but I know in my heart that I've rested in salvation. I don't wake up every day. I was so important to God that every day, every hour, I know that I know that I know that my destination when I die is heaven or when I'm raptured out. Listen, folks, I don't think we realize just how all the workings of the world, God came not to just give me peace of mind, but to help me, listen, to help me understand that he is at work in the heavens preparing everything that happens in the world. Focus on this. Number two, not only did he prepare a way, number two, he prepared a book for me. This miracle word. Oftentimes we preach and we say amen to the Bible, but you know that God took time. He, over 1,600 years, it took for God to use 40 different men to write his word. Without error and without contradiction. God thought you so important that he wanted to have the mind of Christ in print for you. Do you know that this book is full of what's important to God? And you're one of the things that's in it. He said, consider the fowls of the air. And I take care of them. And so if they're important, then you're important. He said, I take care of the lilies. Nobody goes out and tills the ground and drops seed in. Nobody waters them. Nobody goes by and fertilizes them. I do all that. I take care of them. And they're here today and gone tomorrow. And if they're important to God, important, I don't drive down the road thinking, that lily is important to God. I don't do that. But you know, when I've gotten inside of God's word, and I read this, you know, this week after I read this passage of scripture, I drove down the road looking for lilies. And I didn't think that lily is important. I thought, man, I am important to God. God loves me. God, if you're taking care of that, then what are you taking care of in my life that I can't even see? What are you taking care of for your church that I can't even see? God, I want to be thankful, but I don't even know all the things to be thankful for because you just take care of the things that I can't see. Hey, folks, you're important. He gave you a book. Wouldn't it be a shame that we spend our entire lives? God gave us this comforter to seal us until the day of redemption, but do you realize that that's not the only thing he does? He's the revealer of all truth to you. And if you don't ever read the truth, he can't reveal it to you. If you don't ever study his truth, then he can't help you. You know why people are of a doubtful mind in our day and age? They don't know what they don't know about God. And the only way you're ever going to learn it is to get in God's word. Because, hey, you're important. He left you a book. You're important. You're not just important because he prepared a way or because he prepared a book for you. You're important because he prepared a place for you here on earth. You're sitting in it. You're sitting in the gathering of the church. Do you know what a church is? It's a called out assembly. It's called out of the world to meet together. And a lot of times when we sit in this place, you may not think you're important, but can I take you? I'm going to dial it back just a little bit. Can I reel it in? I'm going back. Now I'm a teenager. I know I don't look like it. My hair was all the way down to here. Just look at what my boys have. That was it, okay? I told them the only way they're going to save it is in a box. Amen. But folks, as a teenager, I remember coming. We're going to have a youth rally Friday night. You know how important that youth rally is? It's important because there's a bunch of teenagers that don't realize that they're important to God. And they'll walk into a church that has prepared a meeting for them. And they'll walk into this place. And some of them are from a small church, much smaller than ours, with two or three people in their youth group. And they'll ride that van and they'll walk in this auditorium. They'll see an auditorium full of young people. And they'll realize, I'm not the only one. There are other people that believe like me. There are other people that know that God prepared a place. And there's other people that know that God gave us a book. They're people just like me. That was important. As a teenager, I remember going off to Hammond, Indiana, and I would walk into that auditorium. There'd be 10,000 young people in that place. And you know what I thought? I didn't think, man, they can really draw a crowd. I identified with those people, and I said, God has prepared a place for me. God's prepared a group of people that I'm not like the rest of the world. He saved me. I'm not like the rest of the world. I believe His word, and I'm trying to practice it in my life. I'm not like the rest of the world. I don't have a place that I gather with them. You know, the world has a bar. The world has its gathering holes too. But God called out His church and He made a place for us. He did that during His earthly ministry. And He didn't just make a place for us here. Folks, you're so important. God left here to prepare a place for you. He prepared a way for you at the beginning when He came to earth and lived a perfect life and died on Calvary and shed His blood and then went to heaven and laid that blood on the mercy seat, not made with hands, in a tabernacle, not pitched by a man, but pitched by God. In that place, He made redemption for all men. But then, after I accepted Him, after He's going to preach that throughout the ages, He left this place. And God in heaven is right now preparing mansions for you. He's preparing a street of gold and all these things. You say, well, that's old hat, preacher. I've heard that all my life. Well, why don't you realize you're important to God? If God's been working since He left here to prepare a place for you, then why don't you think you're important? Do you know a bride, back in Bible times, that they would get engaged and the man would leave. And if you ever seen a man work, that man would work. Why? Because he couldn't come back and get his bride till the place was prepared for her. They didn't have any skill saws back then. They had them old saws like this. Can you see them guys? He wasn't over there going, yeah, someday I'll go back and get her. He was sawing that thing like this. And man, he drove nails with two hands. He got all his friends to come help him. I'm going to get my bride. I love her. I'm going to work as hard as I can. They'd say, hey, can you come help us over here? No, I'm preparing a place for my bride. She's important to me. Hey, folks, if you don't think Jesus is believing and thinking that way about His church, He's working today, preparing a place for you because you are important. Folks, you're the greatest thing that would break my heart is if we came to a place like this and we preached on how important we really are to God. And for a person not to believe that, to come and sit under the preaching of the Word of God and not realize that Jesus paid for their sin. It's so important. It ought to be important to you enough to trust in Him, to put your faith and trust in Him. And if you're saved and you know Him as your Savior, He ought to be important enough for you to serve Him. Serve Him by coming to His house, by reading His word, by giving to His causes, because you're important. And just as important as you are to God, there's a world full of people that are just that important to Him. And they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I've said it multiple times, you're important. But if you're here and you're not saved, you're probably the most important person to God this morning, because He wants you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the music has begun to play, and this is what we call the invitation. I invite you to come down. I'll meet you in the front. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. God believed you were so important. Would you believe that you're important enough to God to step out and come down and meet me in the front and receive Jesus as your Savior? If you're here and you're a believer and something in your life, you haven't thought it as important as you should, and God spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you step out and come? Well, we stand to our feet. As Brother Bert sings, would you do what God asked you to do this morning?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me? Some have come this morning, but if you're here and you're not saved, why don't you step out? Take the opportunity while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You step out and come. You're important to God. He came and died for you. Maybe you're here and you've never joined a church. You didn't see the importance of it, but you're important. You're so important, God made a group of people that you ought to belong to. If you've never been baptized, you've never joined this local church and you attend it all the time, why don't you take an opportunity this morning? I invite you to step out and come and join the Lord's church as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
bow your heads with me. Why don't you pray for our missionaries right now? People have come and they're being dealt with this morning. Maybe one is, God put them on your heart. We didn't preach specifically on missions this morning, but after a conference like we had, my heart was heavy this morning for God's people that have been sent out and serve Him in places that are not easy to serve God. Sometimes they don't have a big congregation of people to encourage them. They're in a lonely place. I think of Brother Chitty in a place where he preached to his family and his children just there for 3 years before anybody showed up. Folks, there are people all around the world that have been sent and they're getting discouraged. We need to pray for them. Brother Burt's going to sing another. Maybe you want to just bow your head and pray and ask God to do a work in your heart for missions this year.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich is healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb.
Let's bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. God is working in our midst. And just if you had stepped out, you'd be important enough to us for us to keep the invitation open. Maybe you're here and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And you've held on through a lot of invitations. And you say, if they'll just sing one more verse, I'll step out and come. If they just sing one more time, I would yield to your spirit, God. If that preacher would just say one more time that I ought to come. Listen, folks, this is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. The invitation has been long, but it's because somebody's receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's pray. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the one that's scared to step out. If you're scared, listen, you're important. What's going to happen when you step out and come is we're going to rejoice with you coming. We're going to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed and God's people praying, Brother Bert, would you sing another hymn?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let's continue playing, if you would. And folks, have a great job to do as we begin to close out the invitation. I just want to tell you how important it is that we realize people are important and that we invest in the lives of people all around us to give them the gospel, just a simple gospel track, just a simple word. Why don't you go to church with me? What a blessing. Amen. We need that. God thought you were important, and he knows that they're important. Amen.